I want to read this couple emails here, and then we'll get to the phone call. So yesterday we talked about the situation, how bad the swimmer's itch is at Pelican Lake in Otter Tail County. It's sending people to the ER. One of the folks that was in the story, Michael McGurran, had the story back in mid-July, and then Mike McFeely decided to do a story and start ripping on people because their expensive homes on Pelican, which is like, come on, man, give me a break. We've always had swimmer's itch to a certain amount here. It usually happens in late August for maybe a week or two, and it's a rash. It's not very severe. This is very different from that. It's really severe, says Marjorie Matheson, co-chair of the Pelican Lake Swimmer's Itch Task Force. And I made the comment yesterday and say, so bad you got a task force out there now? Anyway, I believe Marjorie's waiting in the wings. We'll get to her in a second. And this year, beaches have closed. Children have been getting sick, and at least one person went to the emergency room for a severe allergic reaction. We never want to hear that. Hans, who's lived on Pelican for decades, and fellow Laker Bill Ness formed the task force on behalf of the Pelican Lake Property Owners Association after a brutal summer last year. They reached out to a couple scientists who are both leading experts in the study of swimmer's itch. Scientists Curtis Blankenspor and Randall, I think it's Dijon. And we talked, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Curtis is waiting on the wings too. Now, the argument back and forth here is the common merganser duck, they point to that duck. It's a relatively new arrival to Pelican Lake. Yet others have told me that those ducks have been on Pelican for years. It's just people just haven't noticed them or knew what they were. I don't know. I don't live out there. I got friends out there. So I go to Pelican. We've had a couple of years since we've been out there. And like I said, I know the how bad swimmer's itch sucks. My wife got it. She got it horrible a couple of years back. She couldn't get rid of it. It was bad. Goes on to say the merganser duck has a species of parasite that we've seen is causing a lot of problems with cases. It seems to be much more able or easier to penetrate human skin than some of the other species of swimmer's itch. That's according to Curtis Blankenspor, leading expert in swimmer's itch. So, and then we talked about yesterday, you know, how bad it is out there. They're getting readings of 16%. Anyway, went through all that. Got a ton of phone calls from people. And my old take on it was look, man, I wouldn't want to deal with this either. I got a home out there, can't use a lake, a swimmer. I get all that. My whole take on it was, are you sure that getting rid of this duck, if you get rid of this duck, and again, I don't get rid of the duck, I don't give a damn. If that's the problem, get rid of it. But my whole take on it is, look, aren't these ducks just going to come back? I mean, you get rid of geese, they come back. You get rid of this, it comes back. It's nature. Aren't they just going to come back? And I don't want to see people spending a whole lot of money to get rid of something that's just going to turn around and come back. That's my whole take on it. And I'm hoping, and I said too, I hope that people don't think that if you get rid of these ducks, that's it. We're not going to have swimmer's itch anymore. You're going to have swimmer's itch. That's just, and I think there's other factors that play into it. I understand. This is a really crazy strain. I get that. And I've been told too, Jay, wiping down, showering off, wiping down with a cloth, scrubbing, it's not getting rid of it. You can't do anything about this strain. So I got this email from a gentleman yesterday. I emailed him back. Jay, your segment about the swimmer's itch problem on Pelican was a bunch of BS. You do a great disservice to your listeners and the people affected by the problem by providing so much misinformation and faulty opinions about a serious and growing problem. Number one, I don't know what misinformation you thought I gave. I gave the information that was in the stories that were written. That's the information I gave, and I quoted some stuff out of McFeely's article as well. And so there's no misinformation from me and faulty opinions. This is talk radio, okay? My listeners, whether you're a fan of me or not, you have a right to call the program and give your opinion. This is an opinion-based show, okay? Now, I wish you would have been listening yesterday because then you could have called in and you could have gave what you feel are the facts. Moreover, a scientific study was done and it found that the swimmer's itch infection rate on Pelican is the highest rate ever recorded on any lake in the entire USA. A rating 3 is considered high, but Pelican is at 16. I gave all that information yesterday. We talked about that. Simply put, the problem is big and is growing. At present, it's actually present on 3 to 4 lakes. Soon it'll be 10 to 20, then 50. We talked about that yesterday. Lakes are a big deal in Minnesota. I know the lakes are a big deal in Minnesota. David, I grew up in Minnesota. I grew up in northern Minnesota. We lived at the lakes. I got friends that have up lake places on a lot of lakes. I understand how important the lakes are. We brought that up yesterday. Did we not bring that up, Ronnie? How important it is when it comes to the lakes. You don't want resorts. You don't want these businesses not having people come out because that brings in tax dollars for the area. That was all brought up on my show yesterday.
Yes, it was.
It counts for a high level of tourism. We brought that up on my show yesterday, that you don't want to see that go away. If some solution isn't done, it's going to be negatively affect a lot of people and businesses. We brought that up yesterday on my program. That was all brought up on my show yesterday. And I back you folks on Pelican 100% on all that. My take on it is this duck, getting rid of this duck, really going to fix the problem. That was my whole take on it. So then I've got this email. I'll go through this. I promise I'll get to the calls in a second. I just want to get through all of David's emails. So, Jay, the misinformation on the Swimmer's Itch segment yesterday includes, it was said that the Swimmer's Itch has been around forever. Yes, that was brought up by many callers. I remember growing up Swimmer's Itch when I grew up. Actually, the current problem is a new strain of itch that's only been around for a couple years. It was said that the company from Michigan was paid $500 to study the problem. No, it wasn't. That wasn't brought up on my show. I never said that. I don't remember one caller bringing that up. Actually, the company's paid a nominal fee of about $15,000 to study the problem. It was paid for by the lake property owners, not an agency or taxpayers. Nobody ever said taxpayers were paying for anything. That was never brought up. It was said that the company recommended duck hunting as a solution to the problem. No. Somebody made a wisecrack. How about if you just hunt them away? Nobody said that the company came up with that solution. Nobody said that. Somebody made a crack about going out and hunting the ducks. It was said that the ducks aren't the cause of the problem. Actually, scientific studies have shown they are a cause of the problem. That wasn't said either. The question was asked, and many people asked, is that the only thing that's causing the problem? Are these merganser ducks? So you've everything you're saying was said is not, that's not correct. It was said that the merganser ducks have been around forever. Yes, people are saying that they have seen these ducks forever. I don't know. I don't live out there. Actually, people who have observed and counted the ducks say that they are an invasive species that first appeared on Pelican in 2021. It was said the problem is really caused by people who pollute the lake, who example, yeah, that was somebody else bringing up their opinion. That, you know, people are in the lake. I mean, come on, man. Jeez, this is unbelievable. Actually, while people obviously pollute, there's no evidence that they cause a problem. And I brought that up yesterday, too. Did I not, Ronnie? I said, come on.
Yeah, you did. And also brought up yesterday was the fact that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife signed off on one way of getting rid of the problem. Mm-hmm. And the DNR wants more research. Yeah, their opinions exactly. are differing.
That's right. And if you talk to some folks out in the lakes area, many friends of mine, they're not fans of the DNR. They always tell me, Jay, DNR stands for damn near Russia. It was said that you could avoid the itch by simply doing a quick rub down of your skin after swimming. No, that's not what was said, a quick rub down. It was towel off, take a shower. We had people talking about how they were growing up. They would have a bleach and water mix and wipe off and never had a problem. Perhaps an audio review of yesterday's show is necessary. David, it is not. All right? None of that stuff. Some of this stuff might have been said by people calling in with their opinion, but a lot of stuff was not. You're so off the mark on this. All right, now let's go to the phones. I believe it's going to be Marjorie first, co-chair of the Pelican Lake Swimmers Itch Task Force. Marjorie, welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
Well, thanks, Jay. And it sounds like you're doing a really good job trying to find what the real facts are here.
Well, you know, yesterday, like I said, this is a show of opinions. People are allowed to give their opinions. Everything that I gave was what was said by your experts. And also, you know, I talked about, you know, McFeely did an article, and I got pissed off because he's going after you guys because, you know, you're the good folks of Pelican Lake and you have expensive homes, and that's wrong. That is absolutely where nobody should have to deal with this. So let's get to the task force. And I got one of your experts is waiting in the wings, too. Marjorie,
sure.
How long have you lived on Pelican?
I've lived on Pelican for 57 years.
Okay, 57 years. Okay, so these merganser ducks, which I say this, I've never heard of these ducks, never heard of them. You're saying that these ducks have just recently been spotted on Pelican. When I say recently, it sounds like about 2021 is when they started showing up.
Yeah, well, it was in 2020, and I remember the first time I saw them land on the lake They were different looking birds. We researched them, found out they were Magellans, just didn't know anything about them. And surprisingly, the first case of swimmer's itch on our beach showed up 2 months later. But mergansers, let me just give you a little background on mergansers, because they fly through, or they fly over Pelican Lake. They might land on Pelican Lake in April and then keep on going.
Okay.
They have not resided there. And what's different is that they have, starting in 2020, it became part of their breeding territory. So they no longer were just passing through. And there's a group called eBirds.com that's sponsored by Cornell, by the Ornithological Lab. And they actually trace sightings of these birds. And you can see that sometimes before 2020, there might be one or two birds that were spotted, not very many. And then starting in 2020, we started, or 2020, we started having broods of birds, and they stayed all summer.
Okay.
And so that's quite a switch from before. And the reason why that's important is that it's the babies that produce the most parasite. They shed 25 times the amount of the parasite that the adults do.
And how many, is it true that when they have their babies, it can be 20 plus?
Well, they tend to have like 7 to 13 maybe.
Okay.
But what I've learned from our scientists is that the mothers fight and the dominant mother ends up winning the brood. And so we've actually had a brood of 40 ducklings.
Wow.
Which is, really quite a spectacular show.
So now, Marjorie, before these mergansers showed up and stayed, and you said that was 2020, before that, did you guys never have swimmer's itch in Pelican? Or you had it, but it just wasn't to this extent?
I had heard we had it. I never had it. But I heard we had it. It was certainly nothing like this.
Yeah, because I know I've got a lot of friends that have lake places out there, and they have gotten swimmer's itch, years past. But I know it's nothing like what you're experiencing now.
No, it really isn't. And this is a particularly harsh kind. It's about 45 times more virulent than the other types of swimmer's itch are. And it's really, I'll tell you one other quick thing, which is that the merganser duck, they shed this particular parasite, but it's a perfect storm because that duck, that parasite requires a specific snail, because the duck poops off the worm in the form of eggs in its feces.
Okay.
And the eggs hatch in the water. They form the eggs hatch into larvae, and they go into the snails. The snails become infested, and then the snails really are the problem because they release more larvae, like 5,000 to 10,000 larvae daily throughout the summer. So it's really the perfect storm of the merganser and the right snail. So other lakes may have mergansers, but they may not have that type of snail that actually becomes infested.
So you not only have a merganser problem, but you've also got a certain breed of snail as well that's a problem?
Right. They both contribute to the problem.
Okay.
And the problem is really the parasite. And, we can't get rid of all the snails. They're throughout the lake. I mean,
that,
you destroy the entire lake ecosystem. So, now, surprisingly, do you have any idea how many broods we have of mergansers right now?
On Big Pelican, I have. How many do you have right now?
We have four. And so that's four broods that have created this problem. And so it's four adult females, and a total of 41 babies. We went around the lake and counted them. And
41
so really
babies
not a,
and four females.
41 babies.
Okay.
And it's the 41 babies that are especially the problem.
Okay, so I'll give you all the time you need, Marjorie. My next question is if you can get these mergansers off the lake, get the babies off the lake, because this is what was brought up yesterday. What's not to say they're not going to come back next year? Because once they've started making this their ground, aren't they just going to keep coming back?
Well, and I'll let you talk to Kurt about that some more too, but what Kurt has told us, and he's one of the leading experts on this parasite in the country, or he is the leading expert on this parasite, is that the mother won't leave the babies. and the babies don't leave the mother. So when you move the brood, the whole brood will stay, and they're not able to fly. So the brood will stay. They tend to bond with the new lake, their new surroundings. So they tend to come back to wherever they've been moved to. And in Michigan, what they've been doing is moving them to Lake Michigan, because Lake Michigan doesn't have that snail, and most of the Great Lakes don't. So, for instance, we were proposing we would move the ducklings either to Lake Superior or another lake that didn't have homes on it, or another lake that we could identify didn't have this kind of snail.
Okay, and that was my next question, because when people hear that, let's move it, and none of that is in any of the stories, we hear about moving the ducks, and then people, including myself, doesn't that just give the problem to somebody else, and that's not right? But what you're saying is, no, these ducks are moved to bodies of water where this particular snail is not in, and it's a body of water that's massive where, you know, people really aren't in there swimming in Lake Superior, Lake Michigan.
Right, and in the lake itself, they just don't have this kind of snail.
Okay.
It doesn't survive against the wave action that Lake Superior has.
Okay, all right. So it wouldn't be, hey, we're taking this and we're going to give this problem to another lake in Minnesota. We're putting it in a big body of water that this is not going to be a problem. It's proven that these snails are not there. It's not going to be a problem.
Right.
Okay, and I'll ask Curtis more about this when I pop him on next about. You know, because again, it's like, you know, it's nature. Why wouldn't they come back? But you kind of explained it a little bit. So now some of my friends that live out there and have places on Pelican and have been there for years, and they said, Jay, we've gotten swimmers in the past here on Pelican, but we've never had it to this extent. And they're telling me that, you know, because it's usually get out of the water, because that's how it was when I grew up. It was, you know, we grew up, we had a place on, South Sturgeon Lake, northern Minnesota. I grew up on the Iron Range, had a place on Long Lake. It was when you got out of the water, you toweled off and, you took a shower, just showered off real quick. And, you wouldn't get the swimmers itch. Sometimes you would, but most of the time that would help. But I'm being told that this strain is so bad that you can't, you get out wiping off or drying off right away, scrubbing off, taking a shower, it does not do anything. Is that true?
Right. Well, I can't say it doesn't do anything, but this variety of parasite bites in the water. It hits in the water. So, for instance, I had three grandchildren that came out of the water screaming all at the same time. They'd all been hit at the same time, and they were covered head to toe with welts that lasted for weeks.
Holy crap. So this is usually you get swimmer's itch. You don't get it right away. You get out of the water, you do whatever, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, you, a couple hours later, even the next day, you get up and now you got a rash and it sucks. My wife got swimmer's itch a couple of years ago. We were at one of the lakes. It wasn't Pelican. We were on one of the lakes down in your neck of the woods, and she got it. She got it 2 years in a row, and the first year she got it, it wasn't bad. It was gone within a couple of days. But then the next year, same lake, she got it again, and she got it bad. She had it for 2 weeks. She tried everything to get rid of it. And I can't remember what she finally used, but it got rid of it. But I remember she was hurting. It was bad. But you're saying this strain is people are actually coming out of the water already welted up?
Yeah, it's happened. And or immediately after coming out of the water, but it's happened in the water to a number of people that I know personally. Yeah. It's
Holy
very
smokes.
Different.
Holy smokes. Hang on, I gotta check my timer. Hang on, Marge. 3:28. Do you want to hang on while I have Curtis on?
You bet. Sure.
Okay. All right, Ronnie. Let's do this. Is Curtis is still hanging in the wings, right, Ronnie?
He is. Yeah.
All right. Do I got any other callers I need to get to?
Full phone lines. Joshua and Steve.
Okay. Let me. Everybody, hang on. I'm going to do an early break here. Let me break now. We'll do the closing markets. We'll come back. And we'll get Curtis on. I'll get to the callers as well. Callers, hang on. Don't lose your spot. I got a ton of emails. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to all of them before I get back to the calls here and get one of the leading experts in the study of swimmer's itch, Curtis Blanks. I believe it's Blankspore. And Marjorie's still hanging out with us. And I'm going to get the calls. Joshua, you're going to be first on the phone. Hang on. Jay, I was the one who sent in the email that the county probably paid $500,000 for a study how to get rid of the ducks, and the results could come back as duck hunting season. It was a joke and not your fault. So if anyone to blame, so if anyone's to blame for the joke, it'd be me. Sorry you got heat for it. We all know how cities and counties spend stupid money on studies. Yeah, no, don't worry about it. It comes with the territory. And, yeah, it's there is, you know, again, I understand the frustration that folks on Pelican and other lakes have. But people, when they call this program, they give their opinion, their thoughts. And that's just the way the show rolls, and that's why it is as successful as it is. Another email, Jay Swimmersich had it once back in the 80s. It was nasty. It was in Little Detroit Lake. I talked to a coworker. They got it recently in the lakes area. So it's not just Pelican. It was a different lake. We got friends on a lot of different lakes in the lakes area, and they're all saying they got swimmer's itch. But it sounds like Pelican has got this strain that is so nasty that these parasites are nailing you before you even get out of the water. And let's go to Joshua, then we'll get back to Marjorie, and we'll get Scientist Curtis on. Hey, Joshua, thanks for your patience, buddy. You're up, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, for sure. Thanks. As always, a great program. I am by any means not an expert. I am an avid duck hunter, and I have been for many, many years. And so I'm curious to hear what Curtis says about this merganser thing. I hunt out the Prairie Pothole Reef, about 200 miles away from Pelican Lake, out by other side of Jamestown. We've been shooting mergansers my entire life. They're ugly birds. They suck to clean. They taste good, but that's my opinion. My understanding is that ducks will imprint on a certain area. So if year after year, as they come back and they migrate through the causeway from Mexico up to Canada, if the previous generation was born and raised there, they're probably going to come back to that region. So I kind of get the idea that you want to move them on. But at the same time, mergansers, as far as I know, go from Idaho all the way out to Pennsylvania. So you relocate them, they're going to fill back in, aren't they?
Well, see, that's what I thought too, but evidently I'm told, you know what, Josh, hang on. I'm going to put you on with Curtis. Let's bring Curtis on and he can talk to you about this. So hold on here, Joshua. Curtis Blankswar is the one of the leading experts in the country in the study of swimmer's itch. Hey, Curtis, welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Hey, sorry I had you on hold so long. I wanted Marjorie to give the whole backstory on this. I don't know. Did you hear what caller Joshua was saying? And if you did, could you respond to him and answer his questions?
Yeah, I sure did. I've been listening for the last half an hour, and you're getting some great information out to the public, which is not always the case with shows I'm on. Yeah, Joshua, there's a couple things. You got to remember it's the ducklings that are the source of the problem. And when you're hunting, even in the Pelican area or thereabouts, a lot of the birds you're taking out are migrants, and they aren't really the problem. We think the real problem is the nesting sites on lakes. Mergansers are very picky about where they nest. They're cavity nesters. And there's probably a limited supply in a certain area, and that's what kind of determines how many broods you have on the lake. So if you can get the nest and take the ducklings off and move them, 100 miles away, they're going to imprint on that area, and they're going to come back to the area where they get relocated, not to Pelican Lake area.
Wouldn't that fill in, though, during the next migratory season?
No. What? So the female will come back to her successful nest. Right, and she'll have another brood before she dies and then doesn't come back anymore. But if you catch the ducklings, they won't come back. And the trick is, if you can do that for 2 or 3 years, the snail levels in the lake go way, way down. So even if a duckling does come back, they're not going to pick up the infection from the snails as quickly because there's just not as many parasites circling in the water. So you do a kind of twofold approach. You take the ducklings off, and you try to find the nests where the ducklings are produced every year. And if you can get a couple nests every year, you can knock down your merganser population without having to kill a bird.
Okay. I guess that answers my question. It changes things a little bit for me, but, yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, Joshua, appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Tom, you're up on the Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, just real quick question, Curtis. So I got a question. Does the swimmer's itch, does this exist in lakes where no duck hunting, no motor boats, no nothing? Does this exist in those lakes, like the BWCA and that kind of stuff?
Well, I haven't been out to test all the lakes in your area. I've tested quite a few. Swimmer's itch is going to be in every lake. It's just what species is causing the problem. And in those areas in lakes where there aren't any boat launches or there are very few people, it's not the common merganser species. It's some species carried in muskrats or sometimes blackbirds. And oh. We don't hear about those because people don't get swimmer's itch. They don't swim in those lakes. But it's there. And if it's there, it's not going to cause the problem that you're seeing in lakes in your area because it's a different species.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you very much.
Tom, appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. All right, Curtis Blanksmore, one of the top leading experts in the study of swimmer's itch. What the hell is this strain that this bird has that it's so bad that people can't even, you know, wipe down, wash off, shower off, that they're actually getting nailed before they even get out of the water? What is it with this strain?
Well, that's actually true in almost every strain of swimmer's itch parasite. But the strains that you don't get major outbreaks on are because they don't penetrate as quickly. So it's not just this. It's every parasite species that causes swimmer's itch with, like, two exceptions. But you notice it because you get it so bad. It's, as Marjorie said, we did a paper a couple years ago that showed it's 45 times more virulent than the Canada goose species, for example.
And this is only showing up in lakes where you have mergansers. That's the only place you're finding this bad of a problem.
It's actually the only in lakes that have the right snail that carries this.
Oh, that's right. It was
the
snail too.
Mergansers overlap with the snail. Yeah. So you can have a lake with mergansers. If it's missing the snail, you're not going to have swimmer's itch from that.
And like Margie said, you're not going to. You can't get rid of the snails. Number one, it's damn near impossible, if not impossible. Number two, it would completely screw up the ecosystem. So the problem is you got to get the duck out of there. And what you're saying is this can be done for the folks out there going, oh my God, you can't kill these ducks off. It can be done without killing the ducks off. It sounds like you got to get the nest in the ducklings out of there.
Correct. It's all about the ducklings. And we've provided a couple different options for your DNR to approve, and they have not been very quick to approve all of the non-lethal options. Like, you can capture them and test them for bird flu. The big reason folks are really nervous, especially in Minnesota with all the poultry industry, is moving the birds and transmitting bird flu. But there's a test that we're willing to administer to each duckling, and if it's positive, obviously the DNR would want to euthanize then, but if it's not, we could relocate it. Another option is for us. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's another option. Veterinarians give drugs to dogs and cats that kill parasitic worms. And we know of the drug and have used it successfully in Michigan in mergansers to kill the mergansers, kill the worms and the mergansers. But we've also not been able to get permission to use that. In fact, we've been steered away from using that option by the Minnesota DNR towards other options.
Well, I'm gonna tell you this, and I made this reference earlier. And look, this is, you're dealing with the Minnesota State DNR. And yeah, they're. I'm guessing in all your years of doing this, Curtis, you and Randall, this is probably going to be one of the toughest agencies you're ever going to have to deal with. Like I said, a lot of people refer to them as damn near Russia. That's what DNR stands. I mean, they're pretty tough.
Yeah, mergansers and the snails are not invasive. If they were, I think they'd get a lot of attention. And they're not considered. Swimmer's itch is not considered a health issue, which it should be. Because it is an infection of the skin. And because it's neither one of those two, there's not a lot of activity or interest. And of course, mergansers are not usually shot to be eaten. They taste like fish, but the bad kind of fish. So there's not a real premium on that side either. So I think most DNRs are like, hey, it's just like mosquito bites. People have to deal with it. But they don't know that there is a solution. And you're not talking about the swimmer's itch, or you're not talking about the mosquito version. You're talking about the measles version, basically.
Yeah. Well, and I would agree with you, knowing what I've had friends go through it. My wife got swimmer's itch 2 years in a row, and like I said, the last time she got it a couple of years ago, it was nasty. It was basically 2 weeks of hell for her. And I'm with you. It should be listed as what did you say as a disease, or what did you say it should be listed as?
A human health issue.
A human health issue. Yeah. I'm 100% with you on that. Now, I believe U.S. game or U.S. Fish and Wildlife, they signed off on his, correct? It's just now you just got to wait for the DNR. And my question is, that's the federal government. Can the feds come in here and see just how bad this is and say, you know what, we're not waiting DNR? Those ducks are getting moved. Can they override the DNR?
That's a little bit over my pay grade. I don't think so. The only reason why the federal U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is involved is because mergansers are migratory and they're protected by the Migratory Species Act. But
okay.
Each state has the right, their DNR has the right to decide what they want to do for management in their state. So I don't think the federal government can override.
Okay. Marjorie, my question for you, 701-293-9000. Marjorie, are you folks down there in Pelican, and I'm not talking just you home and lake place owners, I'm talking businesses, are because of what's going on with the swimmer's itch, how bad it is, are you starting to see an effect on tourism and businesses down there?
Oh, for sure. Well, one place where we really saw it this summer was with our Young Life camp on the lake, and they had 12 staffers who went in for a swim and came out and were so incapacitated they had to go to bed for the rest of the day. And so they closed their beach. They haven't been able to use their beach all summer, which is pretty hard on a camp. I've heard from people who have Airbnbs and that they have been affected because people aren't renting the Airbnbs. Families aren't coming, and some of them aren't coming as often. It's been challenging, and it's probably going to get worse.
Yeah,
I think, too, when we talk about it being in other lakes, we know it's in Cormorant, Melissa, Detroit Lakes. Yep. All of the lakes have it, and Kurt did some testing of it that verified that. But Pelican is the farthest along. We've had it the longest. This is our sixth summer with it.
Yeah, Curtis, let me
so
add Curtis.
Difference too.
Okay, Curtis, when you and Randall tested, you said, I believe the number was at 1%. That's we get calls from people when it's a 1% of snail infection level. You went on to say 3% represents a serious problem, but the numbers that you saw are absolutely shocking. You did a first sampling a few weeks back, and you got a 16% on Pelican. I mean, did your jaw must have dropped?
Yeah, you know, I think about me as like a hockey scout. And if someone says, I got the next Wayne Gretzky, you got to come look at him. That's kind of what Pelican Lake said to me in an email. We got a really bad case. And I'm like, okay, I'll come and check it out.
Yeah.
But it really was. I mean, it's even better than Wayne Gretzky in terms of, I should say better. That's the wrong word. It's more surprising. I had 16% infection levels. I've never seen that before. I repeated the sampling 2 weeks later just because I wanted to verify. Guess what? I got 16% 2 weeks later. And that's one of the first things we do. Think of us as we're doctors and the lakes are patients. We got to triage the lake, right? There's 5 or 6 or 7 species that are common. And we came to Pelican Lake and we looked for all 6 and 7 of those. We only found one species. Guess what? It was the species in common mergansers. Not surprising given the cases and the severity of the cases.
Are there any other lakes in lakes country that have mergansers and the snails, and if so, are they seeing big numbers, or is Pelican the only one that's got the perfect storm going on right now?
Well, I did a little bit of sampling, quick and crude sampling because we weren't there for more than a week, but a couple other lakes, well-known lakes, one was at 8%, one was at 12.5%.
Oh.
So, and that's 3 out of 3 with the merganser species. Now, the thing is, lakes don't want the word out, right? They don't want folks knowing that they have swimmer's itch. In Michigan, it was the effect on tourism that moved the political needle to get us the permits back in the 80s, right? Property values went down 20%, attributed most of the swimmer's itch.
Well,
so,
and that would make sense. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. It's like the last thing they want is because, well, you heard what Marjorie had to say about, you know, businesses and stuff, and Airbnbs and stuff.
The good news is the lakes we're working on now, the property values have shot way up for other reasons, but the swimmer's itch is basically non-detectable. And so we've got great success on a couple of big popular lakes in Michigan, and we can do the same thing in Minnesota.
Okay, so before I get back to the calls, Brad, you're going to be next on the phones. Again, so you guys have done this successfully on other lakes where you got the mergansers, you got the ducklings and the nests off that lake, and that completely turned around the severity of the swimmer's itch.
Yes, on two important lakes in Michigan, 20 miles of shoreline or more. Started out with 9 broods the first year we worked. We got it down to 2 broods after 3 or 4 years of moving the ducklings to Lake Huron. So the ducklings didn't come back. And then it's been down ever since we've been started working for 10 years, since 2015.
So how long do you think – well, first, the key here is going to be the DNR. And my question is – I was going to ask you, how many years do you think it would take for you guys to start moving these ducklings and the nests before, you know, they're out of here completely, not coming back? But before you answer that, let me ask you this. Let's go back to the DNR. If the DNR, you're saying, hey, this is a health problem. This is a skin problem. This is a serious issue for people, the strain that's in pelican. If the DNR keeps dragging their feet on this, saying, no, we don't want you to do that, we don't want you to do that, how long do you think it's going to be, Curtis, before, because you know, you were on Pelican, you were on other lakes. I mean, that's like Las Vegas, you know, when it comes summertime, the place is crowded. I mean, a lot of businesses, you know, the state depends on that tax, the tax dollars coming in, money coming in. If this is not rectified soon, how long before these other lakes in Lakes Country are going to be as bad as Pelican? I mean, right now you said one's at 12 and one's at 8.
Yeah, that's a great question. All I know is, I mean, think about the camp, Marge, you mentioned. You're a parent, you send your kids to camp, you pay good money to go to a camp on a lake, and all of a sudden now you can't swim in the water. You know, you do that a couple years, they're not going to send their kids to that camp anymore. And that's what's going to happen to businesses, et cetera. I think that's one of your DNR's biggest issues is they're worried it's going to be too successful. And then they're going to say, we're going to have 50 lakes that want to do this. What do we do then? And my response is, well, that's a great problem to have because then we're getting 50 solutions done.
Well, you would think that, okay, I mean, that's don't you as a state agency want that so people can go out, enjoy the lakes, go boating, go water skiing, wakeboarding, swimming, hitting the sandbars, fishing, all that, and know that, hey, in Minnesota, we don't have this problem on our lakes. I would think that would be a huge selling point. And I got to believe, from what I understand, it's not the taxpayers that are going to be paying for this, correct, Curtis?
That's up to the Lake Association. That's not coming out of the DNR's budget. That I know.
Okay. Yeah. So what? This is a win-win. And again, you're not killing off these merganser ducks. You're not killing off the ducklings. You're not killing off the females. You're not. You're moving them to a lake that does not have the other ingredient, and that is this snail. So they're not being killed off. They're just being moved to a lake where you don't have the snail and they can live on with their lives and keep doing their thing.
And, Jay, I'll go even one further. We suggested we move them to a lake like Superior where mergansers do very well. Duckling mergansers survive quite well in these lakes we want to move them to. So it's a win for the birds, too. Win for people using the lake. It's a win for the lake. You're not dumping massive amounts of copper sulfate, which was kind of the traditional way to treat swimmer's itch, which doesn't work, by the way. Studies have just been published about that. So, yeah, we think it's a win-win-win. We need to be patient. We need to get them to see that, and then I think we'll be okay.
Well, it to me, this just sounds, you know, talking to you, talking to Marjorie, this just seems like a absolute no-brainer. At all. I mean, this is almost nothing's perfect, but damn, Curtis, this sounds like a pretty close to perfect solution for all parties involved with this.
Yeah, and we'll even do a small scale pilot based study for a couple years just to show in concept. It'll work in Minnesota like it has in Michigan. So if we need to reduce the number of lakes initially to show, hey, it works, we're willing to do that.
Okay. Ronnie, who is next on the phone? So I can try to slip a couple. All right, let's go to Brad. Hey, Brad, you're up on the Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, he said to kill the babies out of the nests. Where do mergansers nest at?
Mergansers are cavity nesters like wood ducks. They'll find empty cavities, sometimes pileated woodpecker old nests, And they need to find a – they're not good flyers, and so they need to find an opening for their cavity that they can fly into. And that's not easy for mergansers. They're divers. But open cavities is the short answer to your question.
Yeah, but I knew that because you said you're supposed to get rid of the eggs. I thought, well, we were one day sitting in this – one of the mergansers was sitting out front making a stupid quacking noise, and all of a sudden out of the tree all the babies were flying, jumping out.
Yeah.
All of the trees.
Red-breasted mergansers would be on the ground. Hoodeds are going to be in swamps, but it's common mergansers that are sometimes 55 feet up in the air. If that's where the cavity is, that's where they'll have their nest. And they're like fluff balls when they come out of the nest. And they get in the water, and they never go back to the nest. And at 2 days old, they're fishing and they're eating. So.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. They when they hit the ground, they were just little fluff balls. We watched them, you know. They jumped out, and then I was told they eat more fish than any other bird. Is that true?
I think the cormorants might trump them on that, but the cormorants are just massive numbers, right? Mergansers don't have the same numbers as cormorants because they're not community nesters, but they eat a lot of fish. They do.
Yep, I know they do. So. Okay, thank you.
Brad, appreciate the phone call, 701-293-9000. Well, guys, I'm out of time. What's your next step now, Curtis? Is it now just a sit and wait it out game with the DNR and hope that they come through?
We have a couple pronged attacks. We may appeal the decision. That's still being talked about. I'm reapplying for a permit for next year. I'm using a little bit different tack and see if addressing some of their concerns they gave us for the permit this year.